Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So we move on to hadith number 343, and we need someone to volunteer to read it. Yes, bro.
Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that two women of the tribe of Uthail fought with each other, and one of them threw a stone at the other, killing her and what was in her womb. The case was brought to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he gave judgment that the diyat of an unborn child is a male or female slave. And he also decided that the diyat of the woman is to be paid by her relatives on her father's side. And the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made the deceased sons and those who are with them her heirs. Hamal bin al-Nabigha al-Huthaili said, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why should I pay compensation for one who neither drank, nor ate, nor spoke, nor made any noise? The likes of that is given away as waste. Thereupon Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, he seems to be one of the brothers of soothsayers on account of the rhymed speech which he has composed.
Well, this also falls in the same category that we spoke before. The same blood money is being given to the unborn child that died in his mother's womb due to this attack of the other woman, throwing her a stone. So the Prophet ﷺ made two diyah, one blood money for the woman to be given to her family, and the other one also for the unborn child. Haml ibn al-Nabigha al-Hudhali, he objected to the ruling of the Prophet ﷺ using words that rhyme. These words that rhyme usually are used by soothsayers. So he objected to that ruling that how would I pay for the life of someone who did not drink or eat and who could not speak or was not alive at the time, in the sense that he did not come to this world alive. And the Prophet ﷺ ignored that and said that because of using these rhymed words, he is like the brothers of the soothsayers, in the sense that he's objecting to Allah's rules by these words. So this also takes the same ruling on that. Do we have any questions to? Yes, Akhirak. Last one, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Sheikh, do we have any specific ahadith mentioned on the punishment for a rapist?
Okay. Now, this we did not come through the chapter that deals with fornication and adultery, but as long as the question was posed, what is the punishment for a rapist? Rape is a heinous crime. It is something that is a major sin. However, if you look at it technically, it is fornication by force. Therefore, if the man, the rapist, was married, the crime has been proven either due to confession or to the presence of four witnesses. In this case, he has to be stoned to death. If the man was never previously married, meaning that he is so-called virgin, never previously married, is not married, was never widowed, and if he rapes and he confesses or four witnesses testify, he is to be flogged 100 lashes and sent away from his town for a whole year. This is the punishment. Now, to prove this is quite difficult, because if he does not confess and there are no four witnesses, then it's her word against his, and therefore it cannot take place. However, the judge or the Muslim ruler can give a verdict that suits the circumstances, but not to implement the prescribed had or prescribed punishment of either stoning or flogging. He could jail him. He could see that there are attack traces of attacks. He could use what is known as nowadays crime scene evidences, such as the nails, the DNA, etc., but not to condemn him 100%. He can put him away in prison for 5 years, 10 years, but not to implement the prescribed punishment. Now, having said that, the diyah is the blood money. Who is it to be paid by? In the case of deliberate killing, it is the duty of the killer himself. He's obliged to pay the full amount from his own pocket. In the case of semi-deliberate and also in the case of mistake killing, this is to be a contribution from the blood relatives of the killer. So if a person kills by mistake or he kills semi-deliberately, then the diya or the blood money should be taken from his relatives, not only from him, because this is a means of coming together and showing that unity. While in the deliberate killing, it should be only as a form of punishment that he pays all of it from his own pocket if he has the ability to do so.
Who exactly is entitled to take diya?
Who is entitled exactly to take the diya? Those who inherit him. So if someone was killed and the diya, the blood money, is given, who would take this blood money? We would distribute the blood money in accordance with the inheritance. So this man who died, does he have a father? Does he have a mother? Does he have a wife? Does he have offspring? We divide it accordingly as if it was inherited.
Salam, Sheikh.
Alaikum salam.
As you say that abortion is prohibited, but in the case when woman's health is at risk and doctor is suggesting that you take a decision in both of one, that either we should kill the child, take a risk that woman should...
The majority of scholars say that if the life of the mother is in jeopardy and she is in a life-threatening situation, if she does not abort the child, there is a big possibility, if not certainty, that she will die. The majority of scholars say that aborting the child is permissible to save the life of the mother. And this is considered to be committing the lesser evil. And there are a group of scholars that say that, no, this is not even permissible. Because killing a human being, killing a life that is this child in his mother's womb, does not guarantee that the woman or the mother would continue to live. So due to that, they say we should have trust in Allah. She should continue to have the child. And if she was destined to die, she'll die. If not, Allah Azza wa Jalla is capable of everything. So there is a possibility that Allah would save them both.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum assalam.
What punishment should be given to a woman who do abortion and kill her child in her womb?
Well, the same punishment that was mentioned in the hadith, she has to give the blood money. If she commits abortion to herself, a pregnant woman aborts herself, the answer is she has to pay the blood money and to give it to the heirs of that child, if he was to be born, except her. So for example, assuming that she gave birth to a child and the child died and the child had property, who would inherit? We would say she would inherit because she's the mother. She gets one third. And the rest, he doesn't have a wife nor children. Then it goes to the father of that child if he did not contribute in aborting his wife. And the rest goes to the father. So in this case, if a woman, pregnant woman, aborts her child and the child is 5 months old, 6 months old, she has to pay the blood money, which is the cost of 5 camels, to the heirs, which is her husband. He takes everything. If she doesn't have a husband, if she's unmarried, then in this case, it has to go to the Muslim treasury because he doesn't have anyone to inherit him. Not only that, she has to also, in accordance to one saying and one opinion of the schools of thought, she has to fast 2 consecutive months for that deliberate killing or semi-deliberate killing, which is the kafara. Anyone who kills someone as a form of repentance from Allah Azza wa Jal, he has to free a slave. If he does not have a slave, as in nowadays times, he has to fast or she has to fast 2 consecutive months. This is in the semi-deliberate and in the killing by mistake. In the deliberate killing, there is no fasting. Not because it's easy, because nothing would expiate, nothing would pay off for such a crime.
My question is that if a person is killed deliberately, another person knows about it, but he does not have 2 witnesses to prove it, so he uses false witnesses as a compensation.
No. He cannot, no one can take justice into his own hand. If a person kills another and you had seen or witnessed that murder and you don't have means to prove it, you don't have the right to execute or to kill anyone, even if you are the brother of the deceased, of the victim. You don't have the right to go and take the life of the other. And that is why the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, when two Muslims meet with their swords, the killer and the victim are both in hell. So the companions, may Allah be pleased with them, said, the killer is in hell, we understand this. But what about the victim? The Prophet said he was keen on killing his brother, but he didn't, so he died. But he was careful, trying his level best to kill. This is why this is not permissible for anyone to take justice into his own hands. I'm afraid that this is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.